Hola, mi gente. The moment you've been waiting for is finally here. My brand new book, Financially Lit, is officially out. And I can't wait for you to get your copy. Inside this book, I'm bringing you culturally relevant and relatable personal finance advice that will allow you to finally feel seen, heard, and understood. Whether it's the guilt you feel from being the first person to make it while members of your family are still struggling, or the way that financial trauma manifests itself in negative and limiting beliefs around money, Financially Lit is here to guide you through it all. Just a few years ago, it was almost impossible to find personal finance books written for first-generation wealth-building Latinas. We have been forced to navigate the complicated world of money with a bunch of money books written by old white dudes who don't understand what it's like for us first-gen kids. But that stops right here, right now. Inside Financially Lit, you will learn how to set boundaries with your familia, with your dinero, create and pass on generational wealth, diversify and increase your income, protect yourself from financial abuse, navigate the complicated relationship between amor and dinero, invest like a white dude or better, and so much more. You can get your hard copy and audiobook version of Financially Lit at financiallylitbook.com, and make sure to join our email list so you can find out when I'm stopping in a city near you for the Financially Lit book tour. See you soon.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I have a brand new course that's coming out called Master the Mic. And so I want to talk more about the business of podcasting. I've been sharing a lot behind the scenes of my own podcast journey and just the places that starting a podcast has taken me. It's one of the things that I get asked about the most. How do I start a podcast? What should I do? How did you get to 1 million downloads? All that stuff. So we're going to be talking about that on this episode today. Everything you want to know more about my journey, about the course, and everything in between. This is going to be the episode for you. If you are intrigued about starting a podcast, my brand new program, Master the Mic, there's only going to be 50 spots for this first inaugural class. And it's going to be really, really exciting because you're not just going to learn from me. You're going to learn from other podcasters that you know and love. One of the questions that I've gotten is like, what if I already have a podcast? If you already have a podcast, but you're struggling to grow it, you're struggling to monetize, this program is absolutely for you. If you know you want to start a podcast, but you haven't actually started, this program is also for you. So it's for aspiring and also current podcasters that are struggling to grow, struggling to monetize, struggling to have people find them, and so on and so forth.
You're listening to Yo Quiero Dinero, a personal finance podcast for the modern Latina. I'm your host, Janice Torres, award-winning Latina personal finance expert. I didn't always have my financial shit together, but when I started looking for POC-friendly personal finance podcasts, I couldn't find any. And so Yo Quiero Dinero was born. On this show, I'll show you how to make dinero, how to keep your dinero, and most importantly, how to make it grow. Each week, I'm connecting you with the most brilliant minds in the world of money and business, so you can learn about investing, entrepreneurship, and building wealth. The best part? I'm dishing up all this knowledge with a sassy side of sazón. So if you're ready to be poderosa with your dinero, you've come to the right place. Let's dive in. Before we hop into today's conversation, I want to remind you to follow us on social. If you're loving this podcast and you want more community, you want to find out more about our events and all the stuff that we have going on behind the scenes, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, and everywhere else you love to hang out on the internet. If you're loving this podcast, please take a moment to leave us a review if you listen to us on Apple. It's the easiest way to share our podcast with people that you know and love, and it helps us get discovered by amazing listeners like you. So take a moment, leave us a review, share us with your friends and family, subscribe so that you never miss an episode, and make sure to check out our blog, YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com, where you can sign up for our email list and you'll never miss an episode. Plus, you get exclusive invitations to our live events, special discounts for our digital courses, and as always, our best personal finance tips and advice to help you be poderosa with your dinero. Thanks for listening. Now, let's get into the episode.
Hola, mi gente. So this is going to be a solo episode, and I'm going to be talking about podcasting. I have a brand new course that's coming out called Master the Mic. And so I want to talk more about the business of podcasting. I've been sharing a lot behind the scenes of my own podcast journey and just the places that starting a podcast has taken me. It's one of the things that I get asked about the most. How do I start a podcast? What should I do? How did you get so big? Like, how did you get to 1 million downloads? All that stuff. So we're going to be talking about that on this episode today. This is going to be all things podcasting. So everything you want to know more about my journey, about the course, and everything in between, this is going to be the episode for you. Let's dive right in. The first question, how do you promote a podcast beyond social media? And I always love this question because I think there's a lot of creators who think that like social media should always be the primary focus of how you market anything online. And I will invite you to consider that maybe social media is not really as important as you think it is. And I think that's going to blow a lot of people's minds. Why do I say that? Well, before I became a podcaster, I was a blogger and I'm still a blogger today. I began blogging in 2013 and the single biggest traffic source that feeds my blog and that makes it 100K a year is search engines, Google. Most of my traffic for my food blog is either Google search or direct, like people type in delishdelights.com and go directly to the website. Social media is not a big part of my blogging success. And because of that, I decided when I was going to launch my podcast that I was going to use the same principles. I don't know what told me this. I think I just have really good intuition. And I also have like just common sense. I'm like, I want to structure my podcast in a way that it gets discovered organically through search the same exact way that my blog does. So when I titled my podcast, I said, I'm going to be intentional about titling it in a way that is something that would be searchable. Using the search term personal finance podcast for Latinas, if you type in personal finance podcast for Latinas, Yo Quiero Dinero is ranked number one. And that is not by accident. That is 100% by design. When I was choosing kind of the subtitle of my show, Yo Quiero Dinero, I wanted people who were looking for a personal finance podcast for Latinas to find me. You have to think, how would someone type this into Google for them to find it? And when you're thinking about not just your podcast name, but the titles, it's very, very important that you are strategic in the way that you structure your podcast episodes. All of my podcast episodes, if you'll take a look at them, they're queries. So it's like how to start saving, how to pay off debt, how to start a side hustle. Why? Because when you're searching for information, that's what you type into a search engine. You have to think about how would someone look for this information? They're going to ask a question. And so the title of your podcast episodes should be in the form of a search query. That's going to do wonders to help people find you without having to fucking shuck and dance on social media. That's how you do it. All right, next question. And this is for all of y'all who are like, I want to do everything. No, we're not doing everything. We're not. We're going to be focused and strategic. What if I don't have a set topic? I want to talk about everything. The fact of the matter is that when you are starting as a creator, you have to pick a lane. Why? Because if you don't pick a lane, you're going to be all over the place. Nothing's going to make sense. People aren't going to know who you are, what you do, what you think of this specific topic, what makes you like even qualified to talk about this. You have to pick a lane. Now, as you become more successful, as you become, you know, your audience is bigger, you have a bought-in community. When you have a community of people who are like behind you because they just vibe with you, then you can start doing other shit. But until you have the community of like loyalists, you need to stick to a certain topic so that you can actually have focus. You actually can like create content. It's a much easier process, I will say, to create content when you have like an umbrella. These are my pillars. This is what I'm going to talk about consistently. It's not to say that you can't branch out, but you have to pick something. So if you don't have a set topic for your, you know, podcast theme, think about like the top three things that you would talk about and then rank them in order of, I would do this for free, right? I would do this for free is always like the top. That's the one you need to follow because that's someone that you're like hella passionate about versus like, oh, you know, this kind of interests me, but I don't know if I could like vibe with this for an extended period of time. So you need to pick the thing that you're just like, I'm obsessed with this shit. I could talk about this forever. And then after you have your bought-in community and your people and you're, they're just like, we don't care what you do. We just love you. then you can start thinking about branching out. Is it better to use platforms like Podcastle? So Podcastle is a free podcasting host. Podcast host is just like a web host. It's the website that you have a login in and you upload your episodes and it distributes it to different places like Spotify, Apple, blah, blah, blah. Podcastle is free. And the thing about free platforms is that they usually have major limitations. Usually there's not a monetization feature. Usually there's a capacity of like how many episodes you can have or how much space, how much data storage you have. And it's just not a good long-term strategy to use a free platform. 9 times out of 10, if you want to actually monetize your show, if you want to have like really robust analytics and data, which is something you're going to need if you're pitching for sponsors, you need to be paying for a podcast host. And it's not expensive. It's going to be like $12 to $20 a month. I think it's totally worth it. You want to go with a platform that has a proven track record of like longevity, right? Like there are podcast platforms that go bankrupt all the fucking time, especially ones that are brand new, don't have an established business model. I'm not a big fan of like going to the newbies in this case. I'm like, go to the veterans. They've been doing this for a long time. They know exactly how to support you as a creator and they have really robust features. So in my program, I'm also going to give you a list of free options for those who want to just do this as a hobby versus paid options for those who want to turn your podcast into a business. You can start with a free platform, test out podcasting, see if you love it. And then you can eventually transfer your podcast over to another host. It's not a big deal. I did that because I first started with Anchor, which is now Spotify for podcasts. And then when I was ready to move and really like start monetizing, especially with ads, I moved over to Acast. And I've been with them for, I want to say, 3 years now. When you move to a paid host, you get so much more support. All right. Like the folks at Acast have gotten me over $250,000 of brand partnerships to sponsor the show. A free platform is not going to do that for you. So it's really about like, are you going to take this seriously? Are you going to invest some money into having this additional support and this platform? Or are you just going to like do this as a hobby? Next question. How much time does this really take? I don't know if I have it, but I want to. Assuming it's asking like, how much time does it actually take to build a successful podcast? I mean, that's like an impossible question to answer, right? There's so many factors that play into this. I think the biggest thing is absolutely going to be like consistency, right? Like if you want to build an audience of people who are excited about listening to the show, you can't be releasing one episode and then, you know, next week you release one and then 2 weeks later you release another one and then you wait a month and then there's another one. Like there's no consistency. Your audience wants consistent content. So you need to be committed to releasing content on a consistent basis so that your audience can come to expect this stuff. And I also think you have to be creating from an actual desire to serve and to help. When people start podcasts, it's not to get rich quick. Nothing is get rich quick. All right. The only things that are get rich quick are like the lottery. Other than that, business takes time. I started my podcast in April 2019 and I quit my job to do this full time in April of 2021. So it took me 2 years to grow and scale the show to a place where it was making a significant amount of money and was allowing me to quit my job. My story is atypical. I will absolutely say that most businesses in general take like 2 to 3 years just to turn a profit. And so you need to have patience when you're building anything. And I think that's the most important thing to remember. Like if you have this vision of something you want to build, whether it's a blog or a podcast or a social media platform or some sort of whatever kind of business, you need to understand it's going to take time. But what is going to get you there faster is having support, is not trying to DIY shit all the time, because half the time you're just going to spend it making mistakes. When there are people who have done the thing that you want to do, like it makes sense to work with somebody who's done this before. I can teach you guys the ins and outs of podcasting because I've literally been doing this for 5 years. I didn't just like start doing this shit yesterday, right? I've made all the mistakes. I have figured out a lot of different ways to monetize. And there's a lot of information that I've picked up that now I'm going to be sharing in my new program, Master the Mic. So if you want to get there faster, you work with someone who's already gotten there. Otherwise, you could just struggle by yourself. That's just how it goes. What systems do you have in place to create weekly podcast content? This is an excellent question because most of you are going to start a podcast while you are also living life. You are working, you are raising a family, et cetera, et cetera. So systems are critical. I will say, before I hired help, I relied on software to take a lot of shit off of my back, mainly the booking process. The booking process for podcast guests can be insane. And so I'm a huge fan of scheduling apps like Squarespace Scheduling, or it's now called Acuity Scheduling. I love Calendly. Like, any of these types of scheduling softwares are fantastic because you can have your guests pick when they're available based on your schedule, fill out a form so that you can collect all their information for when you release the episode, and you're not having to go back and forth like, hey, what time and date should you get together? In those scheduling apps, you can also include a link to your virtual studio if you're using a system like Riverside or Zoom or whatever. Using a scheduling software is a must just to save you a bunch of time going back and forth, especially if you're going to have a guest-oriented show. I definitely recommend batch content creation. So I have one day of the week that it's like, okay, this is podcast day. I'm not going to do shit else but record podcasts. I'm not going to be answering emails. I'm not going to make content for social media. None of that. This is podcast day. And so I have like three slots that can be booked on that day, and I will interview the guests, and that's all I'm doing. And then my sister, aka my assistant and my podcast coordinator, will download the raw media files, will send them over to my podcast editor. I have a podcast editor from Fiverr, y'all, who I've been literally working with for 3 years. I don't have a $1,000 a month team who's doing all this shit. I found a super, super competent guy in the Philippines who does all of my editing, video and audio. And it costs me less than $100 per episode for video and audio. You don't need to be hiring a whole fucking podcast production agency that costs you $1,500 a month. You can get there, but please don't start there because it's unnecessary. And then my sister, once she gets the files that are edited back from my editor, she just schedules them in the app. She creates the episode show notes page on our blog, and boom, there the content goes. So it doesn't have to be this expensive, laborious, insane process. You just have to be strategic and you have to find good people to work with. Thoughts on creating a YouTube channel instead of a podcast? Video is a whole other beast. Like, I don't think that people understand how expensive it can be to create YouTube content, okay? You need good quality audio. You need good quality video. You need a good editor. There's a lot of effort. If you're going to create YouTube content, by all means do it. But also, you should be ripping the audio from your video content and putting it up as an audio podcast. I do not have the time or attention span to watch any video podcasts. And most people are in that same boat. We're listening to podcasts while we're commuting, while we're doing laundry, while we're cooking dinner, while we're mowing the lawn. Nobody has time to watch your fucking video. If you're going to create video content, rip the audio too. There are audio ripping like softwares that you can find on Google. There's paid software that you can use to convert your MP4, which is video file, to an MP3 or an M4A if you're using an app.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Apple. Okay, next question. Tips for growing your audience aside from consistency. We got that one, LOL. Y'all already know. I already tell you all the time. Consistency is like 80% of this game. Now, one thing that I can absolutely attribute the growth of my podcast to is collaboration. I have found that when you bring really interesting people on your show, people who are in your niche, people who have an engaging personality and a community, that's how you can grow your audience. Because every time you bring someone on your show, they have their own built-in audience that is now going to find out about the work that you're doing because they're on your show. So collaboration with other content creators, people who you find inspiring, you would be surprised. You know, there's probably like influencers out there who you admire and you're just like, holy shit, I would love to have a conversation with them. Podcasting is an incredible way to network with people who would not pay attention to you otherwise. Why? Because people love talking about themselves. Like, human beings, we just love talking about ourselves. It's just a natural thing that we do. And so if there's people that you want to meet, start a fucking podcast and invite them on the show. Their audience is going to now become your audience. Your audience is going to become their audience. There are going to be now opportunities for you to collaborate potentially. It's wild. Like I always say, if you're bad at networking, but you want to meet people and you want to like expand your circle, start a podcast. And you'd be surprised how many people are like, hell yeah, I'd love to be on your show. Let's talk. That's a great way to grow your audience. How long does it take now to record an episode versus when you started? Y'all, this question cracks me up. If you want to scroll back into the Yo Quiero Dinero archives and start listening to like episode 1, 2, 3, they were so fucking bad. And the worst part is that as bad as they are, it took me forever to record them. Like I think the first episode took me like 4 or 5 hours to record. Because I was so in my head. I thought like, I need to be professional. If I mess up, if I say an or a like or a or whatever, I take a break, I gotta start over. And it's not that fucking serious. Like most things that happen while you're talking can be edited. And it's also like practice. You need to practice talking. You need to practice interviewing. You need to practice thinking off the cuff and like answering things on the fly. It's a skill set. It just doesn't happen automatically. There are some people I've seen and listened to a lot of podcasts at this point. Some people are just naturally good at interviewing. They're just quick on their feet. You know, they're engaging. And some people it's like, ooh, I don't know if this is your ministry, but the difference between the person who's like hella engaging and the person who's like feels like you don't know what the hell you're doing, it's just experience. It's just practice. Practice makes perfect, y'all, when it comes to how long it takes you to record content. Does a podcast need video to be successful? Absolutely not. This goes back to like, should I start a YouTube channel? I mean, if you're going to create video content, fabulous, make it audio as well. But a podcast does not need video to be successful. When I quit my job in 2021 to do this full time, I don't even think we were putting video out there. And my shit just was blowing up regardless. Because again, the majority of content, like podcast content, is consumed in audio version. So a podcast does not need video to be successful. It needs to be good. It needs to be engaging. It needs to be helpful. It needs to sound good. How many times have you listened to a podcast episode that's like, this audio quality is driving me nuts? The audio shit needs to be on point before you even start thinking about video. So I'm saying like, focus on that first. Make your audio content really good. And then you can think about expanding to video if you want to, but you really don't have to. What are the startup costs for a podcast? So I will say it can be 100% free. And it was 100% free for me. When I started my podcast in 2019, I had my iPhone and I had my Apple earbuds. I didn't even have AirPods. I had the one with the string. And that's how I started my podcast. Was it excellent quality? No, but it got the job done, right? And then as I started doing more research, as I started leveling up, because that's an important part of entrepreneurship, is to just not get settled in mediocrity. Then I invested in my first microphone, which was a Blue Yeti. Then I moved up to the Shure mics because I started, again, doing more research and understanding like, oh, this is like top tier stuff. So you can start a podcast for free. You can use a free platform. You can use the existing like microphone situation that you have. I would say to have a good quality podcast that sounds good, you need to spend $200 on a decent mic. You need to find a space in your house that you can kind of insulate. Maybe you can put some of those sound deadening panels on them. You can put curtains on all the windows. A closet is a great place to record. Nikayla from Side Hustle Pro has a whole ass podcasting office in her fucking closet. And this girl has, like, I don't know how many millions of downloads, award-winning podcast. Don't overthink this shit, y'all. It does not cost a lot to do a homegrown podcast, but it can make you a hell of a lot of money. That's for sure. How do you learn how to do open-ended questions? Like I said, interviewing people is a skill set. It takes time. When I first started podcasting, I had a like set list of questions that I would ask everybody. And that's a good way to just get into the interviewer space, right? But eventually you want to mix things up because people don't want to listen to this exact same episode every time with different guests. The more that you talk to people, the better you get at teasing out information. It's also a good idea to like watch interview shows. You know, go watch some episodes of Oprah. Go watch some episodes of like your favorite talk show and see how they ask questions, because it is a skill set. It's something that you have to practice. And the more that you practice, you get better at it. What part of podcasting do you use AI for to save time? Oh, I love this question. So my platform, Riverside, I use Riverside to record my episodes, and they have this incredible AI feature where after you've recorded the show, they have the ability to like create clips, like social media clips. So it'll look through the transcript, because that's another thing that the software does. It transcribes your entire episode. So you can actually edit your podcast by deleting the words in the script. You don't have to go and like listen to the whole show to edit it. You can just like delete this sentence or delete the pause in between these words. And it's like you're typing and you're editing the transcript and it's editing the corresponding video or audio. It's fucking brilliant. But I love their feature. They have this ability to just take little snippets out of your recording and then you can use those for social media promotion. So fucking cool. This is why I say it's like worth paying, you know, the $15, $20 for like a robust software versus trying to DIY shit all the time, because for those $15, $20, you're going to have so many amazing tools. I also love ChatGPT. ChatGPT is great for putting together interview questions. If you're just like not great at writing out questions or thinking on the fly, especially in the beginning, use ChatGPT. ChatGPT can give you a whole ass script for your podcast episode. It's brilliant. I love AI. AI and podcasting go together like this. It's so good. I need better audio. It's not shit, but it's más o menos. That's one of the things that I'm going to be including in the course, is just a list of affordable and then like luxury equipment. And I'm going to give you lots of different options. You know, obviously there's people with all different types of budgets who want to start a podcast. So I'm going to give you like a good quality, affordable mic. I'm going to give you a good quality luxury mic. And same thing with like computers and the headsets and the software and all the things that you're going to need. I'm going to give you a ton of information, a ton of resources in the course. Definitely recommending, like if you already know you want to start a podcast, you need to sign up for Master the Mic. It's going to be good. Once you start inviting guests to interview who live in another city, what platform do you use to beam them in? Zoom. So I used to use Zoom. Now I use Riverside. I find that Riverside makes the process much more seamless. The editing process is better with Riverside than it is with Zoom. I mean, it's a software that's built for podcasting. So I just love it because, again, it has like way more features than just a Zoom recording. It has editing capabilities right in the software. It transcribes your stuff. It's fabulous. And it's like $15 a month. So Riverside is my platform of choice. Before that, I was using Zencastr. Zencastr is also good, but I've found that it has a lot of technical glitches. There was times where like I went through the trouble of recording a whole fucking podcast episode and then it disappeared. I was like, oh hell no, ain't nobody got time for this. So ever since moving to Riverside, it's been amazing. Definitely recommend. Does Yo Quiero Dinero podcast blog make money? Hell yeah, it makes money. So I have monetized the blog with ads, and because this is one important thing, I don't want anybody who starts a podcast to use Linktree or any of these fucking Linktree type systems for your social media. I need you to create a custom links page for your podcast social media. Why? Because all of these people who are finding you on social media, if they're going to a Linktree, those analytics are not things that you can cash in on. If you have like 10,000 people going to your website, you can monetize that. If you have 10,000 people going to your Linktree, you cannot monetize that with ads. It's low-hanging fruit. I hate Linktrees. I'm like, create a custom domain page, yourpodcast.com/links, where you have links to your podcast, links to your products, links to your bio, links to your contact page. Like all of that shit should be directing back to your own website. Please don't use Linktree. It drives me insane. But yes, Yo Quiero Dinero does not make 100K a year like the blog itself, but it definitely makes like between $100 and $150 a month, which is fantastic because it pays for all of the host fees. It pays for itself, basically. It's like a website that is self-funded. So I definitely think it's a good idea to monetize your podcast blog as well. All right, y'all. So that is the Q&A for podcasting. I hope that you learned something. If you're enticed, if you are intrigued about starting a podcast, my brand new program, Master the Mic, opens for enrollment. There's only going to be 50 spots for this first inaugural class. I like keeping the class small because I want you to get one-on-one attention when we're in our live coaching calls. I don't want it to be hundreds of people in the room because then it just feels like you get sucked in, right? You know, like you just don't get the attention and you don't get a chance to ask questions. So it's going to be a small group and it's going to be really, really exciting because you're not just going to learn from me. You're going to learn from other podcasters that you know and love. I can't wait to see you there. If you have any questions, reach out to me on Instagram at Yo Quiero Dinero Podcast. And I'd love to answer your questions about the program, about me, about what the hell Master the Mic is, who is it for? One of the questions that I've gotten is like, what if I already have a podcast? If you already have a podcast, but you're struggling to grow it, you're struggling to monetize, this program is absolutely for you. If you know you want to start a podcast, but you haven't actually started, this program is also for you. So it's for aspiring and also current podcasters that are struggling to grow, struggling to monetize, struggling to have people find them, and so on and so forth. Looking forward to supporting all the aspiring podcasters out there. We will talk soon, y'all. So until next time, stay poderosa.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you are ready to take your dinero to the next level, sign up for our free 14-page guide, The Financially Lit Latina, the ultimate blueprint for becoming poderosa with your dinero. This 14-page guide includes our best tips on money mindset, budgeting, debt repayment, career, investing, financial independence, side hustles, and more. And you can get it completely free. So to get your copy of The Financially Lit Latina, just head over to YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com/start. That's YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com/start and start transforming your dinero story today. Until next time, stay empowered, stay inspired, and stay poderosa. On the Yo Quiero Dinero podcast and associated entities, all information provided is for general information purposes only and does not constitute accounting, legal, tax, or other professional advice. Listeners should not act upon the content or information found here without first seeking appropriate advice from an accountant, financial planner, lawyer, or other professional. We assume no responsibility for information contained on this podcast and associated entities and disclaim all liability with respect to such information, including but not limited to any liability for errors, inaccuracies, omissions, or misleading or defamatory statements. Usage of this podcast and associated contents constitutes an explicit understanding and acceptance of the terms of this disclaimer.